gosh, they got to face the Patriots. And they got to face the Falcons. You know what? They can beat the Falcons. They can beat the Patriots.
Yes.
So just stop. Stop with the negativity. Get on board. What did Rodgers say? Get on board or shut up. Get on board, people. It's time for the Packers to go on a run. All the way to the playoffs and beyond.
Flower Studios in Inwood, Manhattan. Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Packer Transplants. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. Directing our live blog is the esteemed Brian Caravu, and we're joined, as always, by our very own Alex Talish and Jamie Jors of the Packers Lounge. Also joining us as our live blog guest panelists is Anita from the Wisconsin sports blog Pocket Doppler. So, Corey, tell us what's on tap tonight.
Joining us later tonight, we couldn't be more thrilled to have him on, making his Packer Transplants debut will be Mr. Tom Silverstein from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Aaron Rodgers.
Tearing apart that Viking defense.
Charles Woodson.
Handshakes all around.
Greg Jennings.
Out of his mind.
And we got the bad. We got Brett Lorenzo Favre.
Brett Favre, you playing very, very bad.
And we got the ugly and the fired, Brad Childress.
So ugly they had to fire him.
And with that, we have the second coach fired, thanks courtesy of the Green Bay Packers.
When you absolutely, positively need your head coach fired, accept no substitutes.
That's right.
The Green Bay Packers.
Just get it done.
How are you tonight, Corey Banky?
I'm doing good. And we have Craig in the house.
Craig, freelance photographer, making money, taking pictures of us.
That's
wow. Kind of a scary idea.
I'm very scared of that.
For those of you who don't know, and why would you, the Green Bay Press-Gazette is doing a little feature on the Packers blogosphere.
And they have the tentacles to reach
New York City?
New York City. How crazy is that?
That's just crazy. That's madness, I tell you.
And who would want to take a picture of me and then pay somebody to do it? That's
someone money.
That's insanity.
To take pictures of Corey Banky.
I think I'm living in an alternate reality right now.
I'm pretty sure you are. That's just how it is. And that's just how we roll. Good evening, Packer fans.
Yes.
I mean, how are you not? Let's raise some glasses. Let's raise some cups. Let's raise whatever.
Let's do it.
Smoke if you got them. 31-3, people.
Look, I called it.
I got to say you did.
I called a blowout. And we got a blowout.
You, Talish.
I don't want to.
Many people in the Packers blogosphere.
I don't want to toot my own horn, but.
Toot away, my friend.
Beep, beep.
I will only say this. I was worried about the Dome, about the history of the Packers in the Dome, of the Vikings, of Brett Favre's last stand, yada, yada, yada. And for a quarter and three-fourths, that was pretty much the game I expected.
It's true.
You got to admit,
but
you know what's funny? Out a little, little sluggish.
We are putting a new ban on the game day live blog. Okay.
Uh oh.
In the first quarter.
Oh no.
You cannot say anything negative. Cause seriously, if there's ever a time in the game where a lot of ball game left is like the mantra.
Well, it's like a given.
It's in the first quarter. Come on.
No, I know. On Twitter, it was the same thing. People were like, just like ready to give up.
Stop.
Like just, after just, two offensive
just
series.
Put the phone down. Don't be tweeting in the first quarter. If you're tweeting in the first quarter, and it's not, join the largest Packer fan community on the Game Day Live blog. If you're tweeting anything negative in the first quarter, there needs to be like a point system. I know that sounds very like, you know.
Hey, it works.
Socialistic.
So it works for
you
me.
Know,
I like
Marxist.
It.
I don't know.
I don't care. I work. I like it. I think we can make it work. No, I'm here. It was very similar to the playoff game.
You all right there?
I'm fine. I swallowed some bad air.
Nice. There's a lot of it.
No, but like in the playoff game, you know, when they went down 17-0, and the Packers weren't even down 17-0. They were down 3-0.
No.
And people were like, oh. We can't run the ball. Oh, Aaron Rodgers looks horrible.
And he did look horrible in the first quarter.
Of course he looked horrible. But that's one quarter. It's two offensive series. Slow down.
And just there you see. And there you see it. Packers get on a roll and tear it up. On a team on the decline, listening to Cheesehead Radio, our lead-in tonight.
No, that was nice having as a lead-in. Thanks, guys.
I felt like Jay Leno and the Evening News.
That's kind of scary. But yeah. I understand what you're saying there.
Yeah, maybe it was more like Conan and Lopez.
There you go.
Tonight.
There you go.
CD was talking about Aaron Rodgers. CD was talking about the fact that we've played now two teams in the desperate throes of
their season ending.
Yes, yeah. And their coach getting fired. So we have to take everything with a grain of salt, right?
People are loving the coach killer thing going on with the Packers. Like, oh, they've killed their coach. Who's next? La, la, la. Like, Singletary, watch out.
Nobody's next. Not anymore, because you know who's coming up next? The cream of the crop of the NFL.
One of the best teams in the NFL, no doubt.
Yikes.
The Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, it's going to be a test.
The Atlanta Falcons quarterback.
Matt Ryan.
Very, very, very similar stats to one Mr. Aaron Rodgers.
Very, very true. You cannot say it any better than that. You know, here's the thing. I see someone, Dane, telling me, what is Aaron Rodgers doing in the first quarter? Yes, what did Corey just say? He did play awful in the first quarter. Did I ever tweet, Dane, I'd like you to find me the tweet that says, oh my God, this game is over.
If anybody's looking for your tweets, they need to be slapped.
Yeah, that's kind of true. But I would like to find it. Dane, please quote me the tweet where I said, oh gosh, we're going to lose this game. Oh gosh, the game is over. Oh wait, you can't find that tweet. Because I am captain. A lot of ball game.
You know, you are captain of a lot of ball game left.
That is very true.
I've been at many a game where I've done some crazy things in the third and fourth quarter, and you've looked at me and said, a lot of ball game left, and vice versa.
It's so true.
Vice versa. Sometimes you get a little carried away, but not in the first quarter.
Not in the first quarter. Well,
let's talk about this blowout here, okay?
I'm all about talking about the blowout.
There were so many haters on last week. A lot of haters on last week.
On the show, on the live blog, or
on the show,
game day?
On the live blog, on the game day blog, we had Tom Pelissero trying to come up in here. We had Brian Caravu saying 1 point. Okay, we got Alex Talish talking about the season is over and coming back and being like it's going to be a blowout. Join the bandwagon with me. Just a lot of hating.
Oh, a lot of hating. That's true.
You know what I love though?
What's that?
I love Jamie Jours as Packers on PackersLounge.com. Yeah. All her Vikings post today was awesome.
Yeah, it was. But very true. Very true. There's all this classic stuff on the Packers Lounge. If you're not checking it out, do so immediately after the show. Don't do it now, because we want you here.
Yeah.
Talking with
us. Yeah, don't check it out now, although you can.
You can.
You just
feel free. We don't ever tell you what to do. Where is Dick Chang? We need Dick Chang.
Yes, we need Dick Chang.
Dick Chang gong.
We still don't have that, though.
Is he checked in tonight? Probably not.
No.
No, I don't see him on the live log. No sign of Dick Chang. So let's get to the game. Let's talk about this blowout. Let's talk about... You know, the offense. A slow start, to be sure. Like we've covered. The first quarter. And, you know, it was great. Did you see the post-game speech from McCarthy and Charles Woodson?
I did. I think we have that.
Let's listen to what Charles Woodson had to say about the offense starting in the first quarter. This is great. I love this.
Hell of a job. Great week of preparation. Excellent performance. Now, with that. You're on Victory Monday tomorrow. Congratulations. Be smart. All right, so make sure to take care of your body. We got a big one in Atlanta coming up, too. So let's keep things staying rolling. All right, where's Charles?
Something inspirational.
Hey, proud of what we did today. Hey, defense, we was called out by the coach to start this game off today to see if we had broad shoulders, and we did. Offense, you came out. Started a little slow, but, you know, it's all good. But, hey, that was a team down, and we kept them down. And that was our phrase for the day, man down. Let's get a man down on three. One, two, three.
Man down!
Yikes.
That was a team down, and we kept them down.
I like how he, like, called out the offense.
That is awesome.
He's like, offense, you started slow. I know.
But that's okay.
But you came back.
I'm Charles Woodson. Come on now. It's just great. It's just great.
Oh, Timmy's on the live blog. He just said that the refs were... what did he say? Proud of the way the refs helped us out.
Oh, dear.
Seriously?
Yikes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, and, you know, let's talk about that
Hold
for a second.
Hold my tongue.
Let's talk about that for a second. It's because Packers penalties, down.
Down.
Down. Consistently down. Trending down.
Trending.
And you know what else? I had this great little
stat.
Oh,
you made notes.
I actually
I love
did.
It when Corey makes
it's
notes.
It's been a long time, but
Corey
it's coming.
Made some notes, people.
We'd have to put that back on the regular video. All right, here we go. So, yeah, so three games, okay? Three games.
Preach it.
9-0 first game. Mm-hmm. 45-7 the second game. And 31-3 the third game. That's three games in a row, okay? That's 85-10 in three games.
One touchdown?
Does anything else?
One touchdown.
Does anything else really need to be said?
I don't believe so. Let's just go home and shut the show down. We'll talk to Silverstein next.
That's the defense right there.
Yes, it
against
is.
Against the Jets. Okay, you can give me the 9-0 against the Jets was very underrated by the national media. We know this because we live in New York.
Right.
And they love to underplay the fact because they need to sell personal seat licenses and they need to keep playing these videos that do you see these videos in the cabs?
I just saw it on the way over here.
Mark Sanchez,
yeah, Mark Sanchez.
And Rex Ryan.
Oh, they're
so terrible.
This is a Super Bowl team. Yeah, said that come along for the ride. And then they have this horrible shot of Sanchez at his locker and then he looks up and goes, "It's game time." Like, dude, what is
it's
that?
It's so stupid.
Oh, it's awful.
It doesn't make me want to buy a personal seat license.
No.
Like I said on Twitter, when the Jets called me to ask me if I wanted season tickets for the Jets, I said yes, if they play the Packers every week.
Perfect.
I'll buy season tickets. I'll buy a PSL, okay? I even like those front row seats we had, but 9-0. 85-10? Are you kidding me? This is the Green Bay Packers, 85-10? What? This defense shutting people down?
We haven't seen that in a while.
What is happening? They're playing zone, and they're doing it playing zone. Not bump and run, not man-to-man.
Right.
They're playing zone
they're mixing it up.
I'm just saying, like, Packers in the past.
Right. It was one or the other, and that was, like, last year especially, a lot of zone. But here's the thing. We're supposed to be talking about the offense right now, but I'll go to the defense.
Sorry.
Because you took me there. Dom Capers brought the house. Dom Capers was sick and tired of reading about how Favre had all day last year. They never got to Favre. Lada yada yada. Guy blitzed. Okay, this is how much he blitzed. Nick Collins got in on a blitz.
Nice.
He never sends Nick Collins.
Nice.
Ever. And he sent him off the edge. And what was great on that play, on that specific play where Collins blitzed off the left side, they had a screen on to the side that Collins was blitzing from. And had the rookie Toby Gerhardt actually run the correct way, they would have had a huge gain. But because Gerhardt went left and he was supposed to go right, it was Favre was almost sacked. It was great.
Old Bag of Donuts wants that your Sanchez voice. He wants that as a ringtone.
Oh, yeah. No
for
problem,
his voicemail
man.
Message.
Just give me a call. I'll tell you what, Old Bag of Donuts. I will do a special recording of the Mark Sanchez voice just for your ringtone when you make your podcast downloadable.
Oh, snap. And I'm going to add to that. Take off the reverb.
Oh, yeah, dudes. Come on now.
Dude, you're not in a cave.
Come on. A little wet, dudes. A little wet. Just a little wet.
Did you just say wet?
It's wet.
I know.
It's just a little wet.
You actually said something nerdier than what I would say. That's very rare.
What? Because I've worked in audio before? Mm, I'm sorry.
Don't say that out loud because then people will listen to the beginning and have a different opinion.
All right. So, okay. Let's get back on track.
Okay, yeah, we're talking about the offense. Dimitri Nance.
Picking up a tough, hard third and one up the middle against E.J. Henderson, blowing him up. I mean, come on. Admit it. When you saw Dimitri Nance get hit in that hole, you thought he was down.
Mm-hmm.
You thought, oh, here comes the punt team. And then a little second effort, a little forward lean, a little first down. I liked the way Dimitri Nance ran. I saw somebody on Twitter said, "Oh, he played great." Slow down.
Well, if you were listening to Cheesehead Radio early in the show, they had their interception fumble touchdown about whether Dimitri Nance has surpassed John Kuhn. Okay.
Packer fans can only hope that he surpassed John Kuhn.
Why is everybody got to hate on Kuhn?
Not hating
there
Kuhn.
There is nothing wrong with Kuhn as long as you don't do the fullback dive twice in a row.
Or or toss to John Kuhn.
What's wrong with the toss play? Everybody hates
because
on the toss
it goes for 2 yards every time they do it.
That's a signature Green Bay Packer play.
Yeah, to Paul Horning. Not to John freaking Kuhn from Shippensburg. Mm. Come on.
Why you gotta bring locality into it? Well, let's talk about Donald Driver's return and James Jones emergence.
Okay. Now, Donald Driver was back, had 4 catches, looking good, but you gotta think it's still not all there for Donald.
I mean, really, who's looking good?
James Jones. James Jones looked really good.
Even more looking good.
Greg Jennings.
Come on.
Come on now.
The basket catches, and I know that's Rodgers, but the ability to trust Rodgers on those catches. What's crazy is Rodgers' contrast between the first quarter and then lights out.
Right.
Like, pass.
Well, here's the thing, too.
I don't even understand him. It's amazing. That basket catch to Greg Jennings, I mean, he doesn't even tip the cornerback at all.
Yep.
The cornerback's like, what? Somebody's going to pass it?
I know. Well, it's well documented on the broadcast. They always talk about how Jennings tracks it so well and never brings up his hands until the ball is upon him.
It's beautiful.
The defender doesn't know when to, try and defend the ball.
Yeah.
But James Jones, as great as it is to see his, his touchdown catch in the fade there at the end of the first half, which was a monster play, and his go route, you still saw the inconsistency. You noticed the one big overthrow where Rodgers had him up the left sideline, and Jones did a comeback, and Rodgers threw it as if he was going to do a go. And then they flipped sides and did hit it on the go in the next play. And then there was a failed third down where Jones ran a slant, and he didn't make the cut as hard as he should have. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just things like that. I'm just convinced at this point, he is never going to put it together in a way where this guy is a real weapon that you can count on no matter what.
You really think that?
Yes, I do. I do. Mm. There's enough evidence, a body of evidence there that says that's just who he is. It's just who he is as a player. 4 years in the league now, you got to think he would have put it together by now if he was going to. Yes, he makes some great plays. He's got tons of talent. But the inconsistency just continues to manifest itself Sunday after Sunday.
Well, let's talk about another wide receiver, Brett Swain. Being put in some interesting positions.
Yeah, I mean, they had him in the backfield on running plays. Mm. I mean,
he
used him.
He missed that one on the sideline. Wasn't thrown right.
Well, that was overthrown.
Yeah, it was overthrown.
It was overthrown.
But you could see, and it was an interesting play.
It was there, though.
Yeah,
it was there.
It was something they definitely worked on.
And what was interesting about that play to me, and something that is not getting talked about at all coming out of that game, is that Chad Clifton, yet again, struggled in that arena. Now, I know he held Jared Allen for most of the day, but especially in the first half, he got worked a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
There was a rookie who put a spin move on him and just put a hellacious hit on Rodgers.
Yeah,
Jared Allen got around him once or twice. One time to the inside.
Yeah.
One time he dipped underneath, and he definitely shorted up in the second half. But again, you saw Chad Clifton have a little trouble on the carpet when he's facing people, who have the home field advantage. They've got the speed. It's that second. It's that 1 second.
Yeah.
That's pass. It's all a pass.
Well, the spin
needs.
Move, I think dude got that from Clay Matthews the week before, seriously.
No doubt.
Because it looked pretty similar.
Yes, no.
It was from the other side,
yep,
but
yep.
It was a very similar
move.
It
was move. Great, and he was in on it, like 2 seconds, literally. Mm-hmm. Like, boom, snap of the ball, spin, man down. Like, it was pretty impressive.
So let's go back to the defense. Capers. Dom Capers, is he going to be a head coach next year, or
no,
is he going to get paid bakillions of dollars by the Green Bay Packers?
Here's what I think is going to happen with Capers, and I know this was a big bye week discussion. I saw this a lot, both on Twitter and on a couple blogs. I don't think Dom Capers will ever be a head coach in the NFL again.
Really?
I don't. I think there are people who will lobby for it, and I think there's a case to be made that someone should maybe hire Dom Capers. But I think the trend in the league is to go young.
Mm-hmm.
You see younger coaches having success. Although, for every young guy that does well, there's a young guy that flames out. I mean, Josh McDaniels is having his issues, But I just think you've seen Dom with 2 expansion teams. Like, and McCarthy alluded to this. He has built 2 programs from scratch. I just think he's going to be the equivalent of like a Dick LeBeau, who...
Yeah,
had a shot
like,
as a head coach,
And it's just, he's just a better fit.
Look at last year, Dick LeBeau's press. If Capers keeps going like this, it's definitely going to be that. It's going to be the,
I just think the Packers will do the right thing. They'll make, they'll up his contract. Because you just cannot, I mean, McCarthy's getting a lot of credit for having the team ready and playing as well as it has through all these injuries. But you just cannot look at the Packers' success over the course of the last month and not pay a monster tribute to Dom Capers.
It's true.
I mean, the guy
that goes without saying. That goes without
in the
saying.
Success the Packers are having.
And, and Ted Thompson.
See, there's that. Look at those.
All right, Craig's in the shot.
Craig's in the shot. Look at him. There he is. But so, you know, it's, I just think I don't think he'll be a head coach. I don't think that's a worry.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Let's see what the live
vote. It could.
Yeah, 91% say no on that vote.
I just, you've seen him as a head coach twice.
Well, and most people make the argument that when they did the expansion teams, I think Andrew Brandt made this argument, that what they were given when they did expansion teams was ridiculous.
Well, especially the Texans.
Because they were so worried about them being competitive, the NFL was, that
they
gave away the house.
Two picks every round? I mean, come on. And, yeah, no, and they had the expansion draft, and, I mean, and the fact that the Texans are still 8-8 every single year since they're ever, you know, the best I've ever done is, you know, basically stay break even. Like, come on. That's just ridiculous.
I like getting Craig in the shot. It's fun.
You're just going to follow him around now. Yeah. Wherever he is, you're going to make that camera
hot. I saw where he was. I was like, oh. Because, you know AP photographers, like, they make a big deal out of, like, not getting in the shot. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So if you can catch him,
you feel
good stuff.
Like you've won up.
I've accomplished something tonight. That I wouldn't have otherwise accomplished.
We definitely haven't entertained or talked about the Packers, but we have caught Craig in the shot.
Oh, sorry.
No, not at all. That's what we do. I just want to say, real quickly, welcome back to Ryan Pickett.
Yes.
Ryan Pickett is a man. Now, here's the thing. I went back. They played base seven snaps. Seven snaps of base defense, of a true 3-4. Everything else was out of some configuration of a nickel package. So Ryan Pickett didn't see the field a whole lot. He was in on some nickel situations, but more often than not, his base, Howard Green was on the field for six of the seven snaps of base. I'm a Howard Green fan.
I know, but I got something else.
You wrote more stuff down, ladies and gentlemen.
Raji
is a man.
Raji. Minnesota, 65 of... This is from the JS Online, a man we're going to be talking to soon.
Tom Silverstein.
Yes, on Packer Insider. These are from the stats. They're not from him. They're from...
Bob McGinn.
Yep. 65 of 68 snaps Raji had against Minnesota. 78 of 81 snaps against the Dolphins.
That's
heroic. Yes. For a nose tackle and a 3-4?
I couldn't agree more.
And he's got like a hyperbolic chamber. It's crazy. Dude sleeps in a hyper. He's like, he used to get 6 hours of sleep when he was in college, and now he gets 9 hours of sleep in a hyperbolic chamber. How cool is that? I want one.
Jersey Al, don't be talking about our pronunciation of a man's name. Corey, pronounce it however he wants.
Oh, I said hyperbolic.
Hyperbaric.
Hyperbaric is what I meant.
But no, he was talking
about
the way you said Raji. You can say Raji any way you want.
Yeah. How are you supposed to say it?
I don't know.
Raji?
Apparently not Raji. I don't know. I don't care.
In either way, he's a monster. And you know what? He's the kind of dude, the better he is our defense. It's
the anchor, no doubt.
He really is the anchor.
No doubt.
It's amazing how many snaps he's
been
playing.
Well, here's the thing. What I was saying about the seven snaps out of base, six of them had Howard Green on the field. Now, when Howard Green was picked up, everyone was like, oh, this is a great pickup. And I even said, I think this is going to be a Grady Jackson-esque type pickup. But the difference in the level of play between Ryan Pickett and Howard Green is amazing. It's night and day. Like, Howard Green is a space eater, no doubt about it. The man is large and in charge. But Ryan Pickett gets penetration. He has moves. He has a quick first step. There is a play where he broke out into the backfield. You can't even bat your eyelids. And all of a sudden, he's there in the backfield, causing havoc. Meanwhile, Howard Green, still in the line of scrimmage, dancing with his man. One man, not a double team, one guy.
Why you got to hate on Howard Green?
I like Howard Green. I told you, I'm a fan. But Ryan Pickett is on another level.
Yeah. Yes. That goes without saying, though.
Unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, Apologies for the technical difficulties. We are back live on the line with Mr. Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. How are you tonight, Tom?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
I can't believe you're here. You're a legend covering the Packers as long as you have. I'm serious. I know that might it probably sounds like I'm an uber geek, and hey, I am. But it's just really wonderful of you to take the time and talk to us tonight.
Oh, not a problem. Not a problem.
So let's dive right into it. This shellacking of the Minnesota Vikings. One of the reasons I wanted to have you on tonight is I know you covered obviously Brett Favre's career. You know, you covered him for a long time, and this is definitely you got to think is the end. Were you surprised? I read your post game chat. I want to talk a little bit about that. But were you surprised that Favre looked as bad as he did in his final game against the Packers?
Well, yeah, I expected a lot more. I think his play is sort of a product of the entire team, of what's going on there. I don't think he's as bad as he looked. I think the Vikings have a lot of problems on their offensive line, and they did. You know, when they lost Anthony Herrera, their right guard, early on to an ACL, that really hurt them. They're already playing with a banged-up center, John Sullivan, who isn't that great anyways. I just think that there's immense pressure on him to carry that team. The wide receivers really have been up and down. And so, you know, and then there's a lot of dysfunction going on, too, you know. And so I just think that it was his performance was sort of just the sum of everything that's going on with the Vikings. And I still think, you know, I'm kind of interested to see how he does under Leslie Frazier now. I kind of think that might, you know, just sort of give him a jump start. And I wouldn't be surprised if he plays pretty decent the rest of the way.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment, definitely. I mean, especially when you look at the quotes he gave about Chile and then corresponding quote he gave about Frazier, about him understanding the players because he was a player. Looking at the Packers over the last, you know, three, four games, the defense obviously has been the talk. The offense has dominated some pretty weak competition, but do you think the defense is just hitting its stride and playing as well as it seems, or are they just dominating inferior competition?
Well, it's probably a little bit between that, you know, sort of in the middle. I think they're really coming together as a defense. I think what's really made them better as they've come along is their depth on the defensive line. I think they're way better than they were last year. And not only that, but, you know, they now have arguably, you know, four, maybe five guys they can bring in. And they're big, and they can stop the run, and they're hard to get push around. B.J. Raji's just had a phenomenal year. I mean, he's playing almost every snap of the game, and he's still holding up pretty well. You know, he gets knocked around once in a while, but he is very consistent. And I think that that's been immense. And then the other thing is that I think they've gotten a lift from Desmond Bishop. I think, you know, he has been added just a physical element to the defense that they've kind of been lacking. He's really good against the run, and he's been far more reliable in coverage. And so, you know, to answer your question, I do think, you know, this will be a much better test of where they're at when they're playing Atlanta on Sunday. But, you know, they stopped who's been there out in front of them, and that's really all you can ask. You know, so we'll kind of find out a little bit more about them on Sunday.
Speaking of the defense, and we'll get to the offense in a second, but speaking of the defense and what they've done, you know, a lot has been made of the play of Sam Shields there at the nickel position. What was your take? And we, you know, people are very familiar with takes from some other folks around the Packers beat. But what was your take on the release of Al Harris, and what that said about the Packers, their feelings about Harris, and feelings about the guys they have on their squad?
Yeah, I think that the Packers made an assessment that they thought that Al couldn't play anymore. I think they, they looked and saw where he was at, and they either figured, he was done, or it would take him the rest of the year to at least get back to close to where he was. And I don't think they felt like they had the time or the need to do that. I think they really want to develop Shields. I think he's, if not, the nickel of the future, he's probably Woodson's replacement at some point. And so, this is the way Ted Thompson operates. They try to, go with youth and continue to develop guys. And in the case of Shields, I guess I can't blame him much because he's played really well. He's extremely talented. And the guy gets better because he never played, really didn't play corner in college. And so everything's kind of new to him, but he's really steady. He's pretty strong mentally, and he's going to get beat. It'll be interesting to see how many times Atlanta can get, Roddy White or even Gonzalez on him,
right?
Because of the size factor. But, the one thing about him is that he's going to battle.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you saw that definitely against the Cowboys. You saw him. It was interesting against the Vikings. You saw him a couple times peeking into the backfield, and they hit him for some big gains. And I think you're absolutely right, obviously, that the Falcons will definitely look for him and try and get matchups with him. But I do like his resilience. Flipping around to the offense, kind of a similar question in looking at the Packers placing Mark Tauscher on IR. The play of Brian Bulaga, you got to say the kids really stepped up and played well. What do you think? Do you think he's a long-term fit there? A lot of people, one of the reasons that was given for his fall down into the first, the later part of the first round, was that people didn't really project him as a starting left tackle. Do you think they've kind of lucked into putting him where he should have been all along?
It's possible. I actually asked James Campen about that yesterday. And, I asked him, well, was this kind of the position you thought he could play or thought he would be best at? And he basically said he thought he could play anywhere, that wherever they put him, he would find a way to play the position. I do think this spot is probably ideal for him. I think he could play left tackle, and I think he could be pretty decent at it. I just think, he's found a spot now, and, unless something happens to Chad Clifton, I think that's going to be a spot next year too. I think one of the reasons he's done well is he's a first round pick, and you expect your first round picks to be able to come in and at least start. And, he's got talent, and I think it's been really fortuitous that it kind of happened the way it did with Tauscher, because it really sort of opened up a spot for him and put a far less pressure on him than if he would have had to come in and play left tackle.
I mentioned earlier your post-game chat, and I wanted to address something you wrote there regarding Aaron Rodgers and his play. Throughout the year, and I don't think anyone could argue that he was spotty starting the season. And, he's had two huge games against now the Cowboys and the Vikings. Obviously, he started off slow Sunday in the first quarter. But I couldn't agree more with what you wrote in regards to what has he won, what has he done. People are ready to put him in the pantheon of great quarterbacks. And I just wonder, what do you see? Because a lot was made of his, or has been made of the fact that he puts up a lot of stats. But then you look at the end of the playoff game, and he misses Jennings, and he misses the slot blitz and things like that. And I know McGinn's gone on and on about that. But What do you see in the future for Aaron Rodgers? Do you think he gets over that hump? I mean, obviously, I'm asking you a personal opinion, a projection in the future, but do you think that that's his trajectory? Do you think he will become one of the great quarterbacks in this league, or do you think he's kind of destined to be a product of the system, kind of a someone who puts up a lot of points and trusts in his defense to pull the games along?
Yeah, you know, right now he's a stat machine. That's kind of how I think of him. He can put up big time points. You know, lots of yards. He's smart with his decision making. His ability to move in the pocket is a huge advantage, especially in that offense and with those receivers. His athletic ability has made him is one of the reasons he's been as productive as he has been. Now, to get to your point, I don't know if he's going to be a great quarterback. You know, if he's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler, or if he's going to ever be an MVP, or you know, to go, you know, the farthest length, a Hall of Famer. I think my impression right now is that he's a guy you could win a Super Bowl with the right people around him. Whereas I always thought with Favre, and of course, you know, it's not fair to, you know, compare right. everybody to Favre, but that's who our, you know, that's the guy that we've watched for, you know, almost two decades. Mm-hmm. And Favre, I always thought, could raise the level of the people, of the level of play of the people around him, and win with guys that, you know, other quarterbacks couldn't win with. And so, you know, it's not a knock on Rodgers that, you know, he probably can't do that. But I think, you know, when they get in a playoff situation, a do or die, I want to see what he's made of. You know, I thought the Cardinals game, you know, he was phenomenal, except in those really big clutch situations. Those, you know, you talked about the overthrow to Jennings. I mean, that should have been the game right there. You know, the fumble at the end, the decision not to get rid of the ball. It's just, you know, he's got to get over the hump on some of those things. And I think, you know, if they make the playoffs this year, they'll probably be put in that position again.
We're talking to Tom Silverstein from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tom, like I've said, you're an absolute legend for joining us. We'll only keep you for a few more minutes. I just want to address one other thing in the live blog, or I'm sorry, in the post-game chat that you had, where someone said something about, oh, Packer fans trashing Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy and writers with the Journal Sentinel. And your response was, I don't know who in the Journal Sentinel has been trashing Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy. I just wanted to let you know that was Greg Bedard. That was Greg Bedard who was trashing Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy.
Thank God he's gone, right? Right.
Yeah. What a bum that guy was.
I got to say, I do have to speak for Packer fans in general here that it's really appreciative how much you've stepped up your Twitter game.
Oh, man, it's
Greg
awesome.
Left.
Oh, thanks. You know, I wish I could even do more. You know, Greg is the Twitter king, you know. I mean, there is none greater. I bow at the, you know, altar of Greg's tweeting. But I'm trying to, you know, I'm still kind of an old guy, and I'm trying to get into it where I can, you know. What I'm trying to do is that, you know, as whenever I can, take questions from people because I think they, you know, that's what they really want more than anything is to get quick answers on things. And so, yeah, I'm trying to get better at it. Be patient with me, world. I'll get better as we go along. But I appreciate you you at least recognizing my effort.
Well, no, it's
awesome.
I can't tell you how much it's appreciated.
Yeah, and the classic this year, you and Leroy Butler together, wow. Who would have thunk it? Amazing. Every week, and we've already had like so many people on the live blog already tell you how much those videos kill. Those videos are awesome. They're the best thing about 2010 with the Packers in the media, bar none.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate you saying that. It's really fun, you know, because he's such a great personality, and he really is of, you know, I've covered the Packers for 20 years now, and he is by far the smartest football player I've ever dealt with. I've never seen anybody who almost never made a mental error on the field. And, you know, his ability to diagnose stuff and really know everything that's going on the field is pretty phenomenal. So it is a joy to do it. I really enjoy it. And, you know, he makes all the money on it, but, you know, so I just have to settle for the fame. You know?
Sure.
Fantastic. All right, Tom. Well, you're an absolute sport for joining us. Thank you so much. Hopefully we'll have you back on in a couple months, you know, when the Packers are in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to do it again. Call me anytime.
Wonderful. Thanks, Tom. Have a great night.
Okay, you too.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Silverstein.
That's how we do.
The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in the house.
Tom Silverstein.
They said it would never happen.
I was at shareholders. I was too afraid to introduce myself. And now I get to talk to the man on the phone.
We both were in the media room.
Well, what can you do?
We couldn't do it. He was right in front of me. And I was just like, oh, it's Tom Silverstein. Okay, this is how great Tom Silverstein is and how intimidating he is.
That's
right?
True. It's true.
I introduced myself.
He's very intimidating.
In person. Introduced myself to Bob McGinn.
I didn't.
I couldn't do it with Tom Silverstein.
No, I couldn't do it with Bob McGinn.
I couldn't do it.
I could do it with Silverstein. But you know what? Yeah, it's all those years. My grandfather in Brilliant, Wisconsin, getting the Journal Sentinel.
Exactly.
And seeing the little picture of Silverstein and, like,
that's it.
Just reading
what'd
it.
You do?
And that's all you had. Like, yeah, in the 90s.
That was your lifeblood.
You had JS Online and PackersNews.com.
And that was it.
Green Bay Press. That's
that
it.
That was it.
That's it.
You had to do it.
You had to deal with Domofsky all the time. Now we can't get enough of him.
Oh, my goodness. Fantastic.
I can't believe he was on the show, actually.
Which one, Tom Silverstein or Rob Domofsky?
No, Tom Silverstein. I can't believe he actually came on the show.
And I can't either.
You know who else couldn't believe he was coming on our show?
Jason Wilde.
Hmm.
What's up, Wilde? That's how we roll.
Maybe because Wilde can't get him on Green and Gold today.
Oh, no. Oh, Packer transplants with the get.
Yeah, because we're just like Conan O'Brien and Jay Leno. We have our own people who go and they call people every day. They get people.
We can't get any more players to come on, but we can get the beat writers, people. Let me tell you.
Oh, man.
Good Lord. Actually, I have to admit, I called Leroy Butler and I asked him to come on, but he was in Florida. He's in Florida on vacation all week.
Hey,
he was like,
give the man a break.
Later on in the year, we'll do it.
Yeah, give the man a break.
I'm giving the man a break. But he sends his love, people.
But while you're at it, if you want to go to Leroy Butler Ford,
buy a car, people.
Buy a car.
You know
say
you need a car.
Cheesehead TV sent you.
And
Leroy, and then he'll come
and,
on the
and
show.
And Leroy will talk some pack.
Look, it's as easy as that.
It is as easy as that. All right, so let's take a break.
All right.
When we come back, we'll talk with Brian Caribou.
Okay.
And we'll talk about the Packer blogosphere.
Okay.
And we'll talk Packers at Atlanta. We are live. I think you all heard that. How you doing tonight? Everybody out in Packer Transplants land. We're back live. Corey Behnke throwing us live when I'm not looking.
We lost our photographer, though.
We did. We want to say big thanks to Craig Rutledge for joining us tonight.
Yes.
Going to take some fabulous shots of Cheesehead TV, hopefully bring it back to the folks at the Green Bay Press Gazette.
Hopefully we'll get some good marketing shots out of that.
That'd be nice.
We can market the show and get more fans.
I doubt it.
Although, you know what?
No, because we don't want them to see us.
I like
That's
the fan.
The problem.
It's true. I like the fans we have, though.
Well, they're the best Packer fans on the internet. Come on now. Come on now.
So I think it's time to talk about, well, we missed something.
We missed a little Tremon.
Tremon.
We missed a little Tremon Williams.
Tremon Williams.
And there's somebody on this show, you have a 50% chance of getting it right, who is obsessed with Tremon Williams.
Who would that be?
It's either one Aaron Nagler or Mr. Corey Behnke.
Okay. Did you see that hit? I've watched it like 25 times. Okay. When I saw that, I was like, what?
Oh, yeah.
That was some Craig Newsom-ness.
Yes, it was.
That was That was, don't tell me what you're going to do, because I know what it is.
I know exactly kay? What you're going to do.
And speaking of...
Knowing what you're going to do.
Knowing what you're going to do. You know what I'm going to play. Everybody
I
knows.
I think we know what you're going to play.
Everybody knows what I'm going to play.
There it is. It's a thing of beauty. Tremont Williams stepping in front of the slant.
Brett.
Intended for Percy Harvin.
Are you throwing a slant, Brett? Hey, Brett. I'm 100% sure.
Not 99.
Yeah. Charles Woodson's like, I'm 99% sure.
Ask
no.
him. I'm sure he'll tell you that he was 99% sure what he knew what that play was going to be.
Yo, Brett. You throwing a slant, buddy? Because I got it. Seriously. Pay the boy. Pay him.
Pay the man.
Because he's a number one cornerback, okay?
With the Green Bay Packers right now.
Right now
Say
with the
it with
Green
me,
Bay
ladies
Packers,
and gentlemen.
Okay? And everybody was hating on him. Jersey Al, you know who you are. Hate. There was a
now
lot of hate.
Just, now you're just doing that on purpose no. to rile up
There
Jersey
was a
Al.
Lot of hate going on.
Jersey Al was never hating on Jermon.
There was hate. There was hate going on.
There was, but it wasn't by Jersey Al.
There was hate going on. And I'm here to stop the Tremont hate.
Well, okay? I don't think it's going on now. I think the Tremont hate has left the station.
All I have to say, are you kidding me? With the hit and that interception, let's just look at this again. Realize, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is a game-killing drive by the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
This isn't fourth quarter garbage time. This is do or die.
Exactly.
Okay? And the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, yeah. Yeah. Bob McGinn?
Yeah.
He's talking about the play of the game is Atari Bigby tripping up Percy Harvin. No, Bob McGinn.
Uh-oh.
Okay? This is the play of the game, Bob McGinn. FYI. Just FYI from one Packer fan who called the blowout to you, buddy.
Oh, nice. I love it. God, I love it when Corey Banky gets up. Gets up and gets down
well,
at the same time.
I was nervous, too, because I was nervous because I did call
so
the blowout.
So wait a second. Let's just put
this nervous.
In. Let's, okay.
You get
this
nervous when you
very,
call the blowouts and
I
they
had
don't
a,
happen.
I had a little thing. I had a little back and forth with Jason Wilde about this very subject.
Wait, you had a back and forth with Jason Wilde.
I know.
That never happens.
I know. It never happens. But so this is my point. And I said this to Jason because everyone's given, not everyone, but a lot of people are giving Jason Wilde some crap because he was skeptical about the Packers in the Metrodome, as was I. And I will only say that Jason's point is a valid one. Up until this very play, I just, well, was
hey, you
showing
see
on
that
the
again?
Screen. There it is.
That one.
This very play, up until this play, which happened under the 2-minute warning of the first half.
Come on.
So almost an entire half of football.
Now, no,
this game was touch
do,
and go.
But do people realize?
This game it played out exactly as Jason and I thought it
did
would.
Did everybody realize, though? Did they watch on Packers.com? Tremont talking about this play, okay? If you look at this play, as fast as it happens, okay, he knows from the snap of the ball what is going to happen, okay? Realize this. Some people don't realize. He literally is playing off on purpose
knowing
to mask the fact, to basically goad Favre, Douchey McDoucheface, okay, if you will. He goads him just like his brethren in the NFC Championship game that played for the Giants goaded him. Mm. Hey, Brett, I'm not covering that guy, Brett.
Why is Tremont Williams a woman?
But secretly, I am, and I will break on the ball.
Oh, and break he did. What I love about this, and you don't really see this in this shot, and I wanted to get the replay that shows it from right behind Tremont. You see it right at the end. Put that on the big screen there, dog. When Tremont makes the pick, Brett Favre runs the other way. Tremont runs to the right. And if you see it on the replay from behind Tremont, Tremont picks it off and starts running. Brett runs the opposite way.
Oh.
Yeah, Brett.
Mm.
Yeah, run away from the melee. Really going to stick your...
Yeah, what happened to that?
Like out there.
Ooh, let's watch
tackle.
Brett Favre block the guy.
Yeah, no.
now.
I just thought it was hilarious.
You know what?
Tramon Williams.
I want to know what Brian Caravu has to say about this Bob McGinn trip-up play of the game, Percy Harvin. I mean, I'm telling you. The Packer insider, they have that as their play of the game.
I will say this. I wanted to ask Tom about this, about how he felt about Mike McCarthy deferring to the second half for the first time ever.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
Oh, yeah.
I was blown away. I tweeted it at the time.
It worked out.
They said they deferred. I was shocked. My jaw hit the floor, and I tweeted, first time ever in McCarthy's tenure, he has deferred.
And it worked.
Second half. It worked exactly as you thought, and it was great because
it worked like Sean Payton doing an onside kick in the Super Bowl.
When they talked to Capers after the game, Capers said, our reasoning was, when you go there, if you get the ball, you know, we've been shutting teams down. They've been going three and out the last 3 weeks, you know? So the idea was
85-10.
Get them on offense, shut them down, and you get the crowd. This is great. I just think this is great. You know, what is, you know, for decades, what has been the problem in the Metrodome for the Packers? The noise. Every outlet leading up to this game did a huge story about the noise. So what does McCarthy, what does Capers do? Our plan is to let them have the ball first. Get him on a three and out. Yeah. And get the crowd deflated.
And it worked.
It freaking worked. That, to me, that's fantastic. I'm sorry, but that is fantastic.
It is. I like it when it works. It's just
it worked.
It's like the onside kick in the Super Bowl, though.
Charles Woodson said it best.
If it doesn't work.
Want to see our broad shoulders? They put it on us.
Hey,
we delivered.
If you're really looking at 85-10, and I know before this game, you're actually looking at, I can't count very fast.
It's all right.
But you're looking at like 35-7.
Whatever, right.
So, yeah, it makes sense.
All right, let's call Brian. We'll see what he has to say for himself and for special teams aficionados everywhere.
Hello.
Brian Caravu, how are you, sir?
Very good, gentlemen.
So, Brian Caravu, what do you think about the Journal Sentinel, Bob McGinn, et cetera, naming the Atari Bigby tackle on Percy Harvin as the play of the game? First play in the entire game.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I mean, Harvin, I don't think Harvin would have went all the way. I mean, maybe he has a nice long return, gets to midfield or a little past or something, but play of the game, I don't see where that's coming from. So, no, I disagree with that, and I can't say anything more.
What you're saying is you agree with us that the Tramon Williams pick is the play of the game, and we are obviously more attuned to the Packers and the workings there within than one Mr. Bob McGinn. That's what you're saying.
I agree with your assessment of Tramon Williams in the play of the game.
There you go. Well played, sir. Well played. All right, so let's talk some special teams. So that is your area of expertise. Were you surprised that they kicked away to Percy Harvin to begin the game?
No. I thought as long as the game was close, they possibly might do that, and it worked fantastic. Percy Harvin averaged only, I believe, 17.3 yards per return on four returns, and it worked out great. And I don't think there is any better way to do it than that. I saw an interview with Sean Slocum today saying they can't do that every game because if the teams know that's coming, then they start preparing to set up the returns even closer to the line of scrimmage on a kickoff. So don't expect that every week, but as a surprise, it was good.
Fantastic. Uh-oh. Oh, no. No, you didn't. Oh, dear. What is that? We don't have the sound, but we have the video. We have Oh, there it is! Brian Caravu, in the middle of your segment, we have the Bedard siren. Greg Bedard has joined us from behind enemy lines. Anyway, someone's saying that anyway. How are you, Brian? All right, so we got,
Sorry.
Thank you, Corey. what was the performance of Tim Mathay I got to admit, I was a little worried coming into this one. You know, you need him to deliver in this case, and I thought he did a remarkable job. I actually thought he was kind of like unsung hero, especially at the beginning when the offense was struggling. Did he do as well as it seemed, or was it just kind of a product of the defense shutting the offense down?
He did a nice job, with the exception of his one shank that went out of bounds, and I think that maybe tarnished his performance a little bit. But he had good hang time, and credit both Jared Bush and Pat Lee for getting downfield very fast and forcing some fair catches as well. But Tim Maste did fine. I would agree with that.
And the coverage in general, you mentioned Lee and Bush as the gunners. Bush especially has been playing lights out on special teams. You know.
It's true.
Unbelievable.
I hate to say it, but it's true. Greg Bedard really is on the live blog, by the way.
No, I know he is. I know he is. We'll get to Greg Bedard. Right now we're talking to Brian Carib. So, Brian, one Mr. Corey Banky has a bone to pick with you. As a little,
what's my bone?
A little something, something about a prediction of a 1-point victory.
No, I just love how Brian, okay, does this whole post game chat for an hour and neglects to mention that his producer was the one who predicted the blowout. That's all. Oh, hey, my producer. Hey, thanks, producer, for predicting what actually happened. Appreciate it, bro. Oh, that's it.
I love that Brian comes back every week to get abused. Like the guy just cannot win. Were you surprised that the second half just
I do not predict a blowout every week, Jersey Al, okay? Only against crappy teams like the Jets and the Minnesota Vikings.
Easy. Were you surprised it got away from them there in the second half, the Vikings? Like the Packers just were you surprised the Packers just kind of laid it on thick?
Yeah, I've seen way too many close games against the Minnesota Vikings, especially on the road, over the years. It's just the way it's gone. I mean, you look through history, and they're close games. So I was surprised that it was as much of a blowout as it was. I believe there were statistics that this was the largest margin of victory for the Packers on the road in Minnesota in decades. I forget the exact year, but I was surprised by the margin of the final score, yes.
So looking at Atlanta.
I wasn't.
Looking at Atlanta, it's time. It's that time of the week where we like to ask Brian Caribou for his predictions so we can ridicule him next. Week on the show.
Oh, don't get me started. Cheesehead Radio people are about to hear something. So let's hear what Brian has to say. Because
oh no,
so yeah, tell
us, Brian.
Get ready for the ridicule. I think the Packers will lose.
Come on, the
Atlanta Falcons.
Brian,
it's going to be too tough playing on the road against Matt Ryan, Roddy White, Tony Gonzalez. You name it. I think they are just a hot team. Matt Ryan's a very good young quarterback. Not to say that the Packers aren't talented themselves, but I think the home field advantage gets it done for them.
Okay, we're done with you, Brian.
Brian, thanks a lot. We'll see you back on the live blog, and we'll talk to you next week.
We love you, Brian, but come on.
Thanks, Brian. And Corey just cuts him off. All right, fantastic. Oh, my goodness, because that's how we do it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So, Greg Bedard's on the live blog talking smack about McCarthy and Rodgers. It's like old times. I got to tell you. It's like we never skipped a beat. It's going to be fun. Greg, you do realize you have to commit.
Yeah.
To appearing on the show. We probably won't have a show.
Yeah.
I was just going to say.
Actually, yeah.
Well, we got to have a little programming note. I think, is it next week or 2 weeks
no,
from now?
No, we're going to see what happens.
But
because
soon.
We might be broadcasting from One Times Square, but we just have to see, okay?
That'd be crazy.
Because although, if I can broadcast from work and you can just come to my work,
right.
It's going to be easier for everybody.
But I will say this. December, the week, I think it's the 14th. I'm not sure, but there's one Tuesday night where we definitely will not have a show because my daughter has a Christmas show that I have to be at.
Maybe we should live webcast it.
That would be awesome.
What if we did like commentary of her show?
That would be so great.
While we
talked pack.
Okay. So Cheesehead Radio, okay, and I got just so you know, I've got the Bedard siren on right now because it is technically on.
Yep, there you go.
Cheesehead Radio's got this whole thing where they're like, "I'm sorry, I said that Clay Matthews, CD Angeli." He said, "I'm sorry that I said Clay." He had the Aaron Nagler thing where I'm sorry that I said Clay Matthews was a stretch for a trade up in the draft, right?
Right, right, right.
And they did this whole thing, and it was really cute, right? And so CD's telling us that I always say the Packers are going to blow out people, and that's just not true. Okay, it's not true. I call the Vikings blowout.
That's true. I never say the Packers are going to lose.
Okay?
That's it. That's
a distinction.
That is a distinction.
And it's an important one because I'm not a homer. I know some games are hard, but I never give up hope. It can be the fourth quarter, and we can be down by 3 touchdowns. And you know what? I've been in Lambeau when we've been down in the fourth quarter by 3 touchdowns and came back and won. So why would I ever think that if it's the fourth quarter and we're down by 3 touchdowns, we're not going to win? Because I'm not a negative Nelly. Okay?
Got that, people.
Unlike Cheesehead Radio.
Oh, snap.
Oh, snappy snap. I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry. I just had to say it out loud.
You had to get it out there, huh?
Oh, Jersey Al. I called a Redskins blowout. I called it this blowout. No, I did not. No. I have. See,
I think you may have called a Redskins blowout, unfortunately.
Nobody's asking you. Nobody. I don't believe I ever asked you what I said.
Is Corey Behnke a fan? Get out of town. Get out of town.
Wait.
Newsflash.
Wait, I'm a fan of the Green Bay Packers?
Corey Behnke is a fan of the Green Bay Packers.
No way.
Goodness gracious.
The only per... Yeah. No.
Yeah, that's a good question. What does Greg Bedard think is going to happen this weekend with the Packers, his old team, against the supposed best in the NFC Atlanta Falcons at 8-2?
See, Laura722 agrees with me.
No, of course. Everybody agrees with you.
Yeah.
Because you're the fan. You're the ultimate fan. Dude, who else gets photographed and put on ESPN.com in full regalia? At an away game in the heart of New York City. I mean, come on. Only Corey Behnke, the ultimate fan.
Why is Jamie got to hate?
Yeah, that's what she does.
I know.
wait, we got a little time. Greg.
No, you know what we need
call
to do
you.
Right now?
I'm going to call you right now.
Wait, you know what we need to do really quick?
No. Oh, no.
We need to do this, though.
Uh-oh. What are you doing?
Packer blogosphere.
Anita from Pocket Doppler, Cheesehead Chick.
You will know her as Cheesehead Chick on Twitter.
On Twitter.
Joining us tonight
on the live blog.
If you haven't, you know, sashayed over to Pocket Doppler, do so now.
Man, Pocket Doppler.
They're an up and comer.
All of a sudden, I'm like, what? I finally figured out what Pocket Doppler means.
Yeah, well, it helps.
How much of a Packer fan I am. I don't care. There's a guy that I deal with at Livestream, and he's from Madison. He went to Wisconsin.
Right.
And he's like, oh, yeah, Wisconsin. I'm like, dude, are they the Packers? Yeah, Mark Tauscher used to play there.
Yeah, there you
and?
Go. And your point is, yeah.
The Brewers, who are they? Oh, do they have, you know, it's the Packers, people.
He is correct. I'm of that. I'm cut from the same cloth.
I love me some Pocket Doppler, though.
It's fantastic. Wally Pingle, we have to give him love because he keeps Cheesehead TV up.
Without Wally Pingle, Cheesehead TV
would still be just a WordPress blog.
It would
blog.
Just say file not found all the time.
File not found, 404 error.
Kind of like, speaking of the Packer blogosphere, Cheesehead Talk.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Are there no more?
Dude, I can't find them on the internet.
No. Why are you trying to find them?
Because I was like, hey, whatever happened to Cheesehead Talk? I wonder if they had a show last week.
Oh, God.
So we could talk junk about it. And then I looked, and I think they're dead. I think that their site is down, dude.
They have ceased to
when
be.
When you type in Cheesehead Talk, you get Cheesehead Radio.
Pining for the fjords.
Which you gotta love. You gotta love that.
I'm kind of sad.
He's not on right now, though.
Well, then you can't call him. You meanwhile, are knocking everything over.
Hello. Well, the siren's on.
Oh, the siren is on. And Greg's on the live blog, and that's all that matters.
Okay.
It's all good. Corey and Aaron killed Cheesehead Talk. No, we didn't. We took exception.
No, but if we could kill the Appleton show, we need to keep trying.
You know who's the guest on the Appleton show tonight?
Who?
Charlie Peppra, starting safety of the Green Bay Packers. You know which Green Bay Packers talking to us tonight? That would be no one.
That would be
the 54th man on the roster.
Although, you know what? Tom Silverstein, I can tell you right now, has never done that Appleton show.
That is true. Probably because he works for a rival outfit. But that's all right.
But still.
No, but it's true. Tom Silverstein was in the house. Look, and he's
not
the man.
Only that, but we had a Green Bay Press Gazette photographer in here while we were talking to a JS Online reporter. You want to talk about independent?
You know what we got to do? You know what we got to do right
yes,
now?
Yes, what do we got to do?
We got to call Alex Talish.
Okay. But I don't have a Packers Lawns animation yet.
It doesn't matter. Just call him.
Do you think he's going to be mad at me?
I don't care. I don't care if he's mad at you.
He's not on right now.
Talish, yo, always complaining. We never call you.
Oh, we got to take the Bedard siren off.
Ready
Greg
to
left.
Call you. You're not on. Not on Skype, dude. All we want to do is call you. Mm. This is some compelling programming.
Kind of hard to call you, Talish, when you're not on.
We're not on. You guys need to call me. You never call me.
You never call the Packers Lounge.
You never call the Packers Lounge. The season's over.
Look, he's still not getting
the
up.
The Packers suck. Oh, wait. No, now they're doing well. I'm talking about how they were really good the whole time.
We got Talish
now. I just really meant that they were really good. And now they're playing great, and they're 7-3, and now I'm on board.
Is that whining in the background?
Hey! Talish, how are you, buddy? Alex Talish, are you there?
I'm good, man. Hold on. I got to turn on like all my stuff. Hold
Uh-oh,
on.
Uh-oh, he's got to turn on his stuff.
I'm good.
Wait, you're turning on your stuff or you're turning off your stuff? I don't know what's going on here.
I had like echoes going on
and
all this.
I do have to give you mad props because you, along with Corey Behnke, predicted a Packer blowout. So
after he said the season was over.
Well, you know, we came around.
I never said that. Once again, I never said that. I said the Packers were an average football team
sure
if they didn't make changes.
Sure you did, Talish. Sure you did. But I got the Google.
Go,
I got the Google
go
search
find it.
To prove
I'll
it,
wait.
Buddy.
I'll wait. You stole that from me. All right.
I know exactly.
So, Mr. Nostradamus, big game on Sunday. What do you see happening down there, the dome in Atlanta?
You know, I don't even want to answer this question because I've probably never gone here before.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on. Don't do this on the show. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't think about it. And then don't do it.
I just think
come on.
You're going down to Atlanta. You're coming off a big victory. You get down there and you just freaking blow them out like 31-10.
That's what
there
I'm talking
about. Boom. Talish with the boom! That's what I'm talking about.
Oh man, you're getting crazy there.
There you go. All
right.
Give us a score. Give us a score.
Yeah.
Josh. Come on.
I just did in that amazing yell of mine.
No, but 31-10.
Wow. That would make our total score 115 to 20.
Wait, you can do math.
No, I can't. And I bet that's wrong. I bet that's wrong. But in but in four games, if Talish is right, okay? Seriously, in four games, if Talish is right, it's like 115-10.
Oh,
to 20. Sorry, 115-20. That's pretty amazing.
Dude needs 31%. A beverage. Dude needs a beverage here, man.
I try.
All right.
Well, see, it's a scary game, you got to admit. I'll be honest, it's a scary game. I like our chances. Go
okay.
back.
I never say this, but I think the Packers are going to win. I think the Packers are just. I don't. I think they win by at least a touchdown. I do. I think they're the better team. I know everyone wants to get off. You know how great Atlanta's played at home, and Matt Ryan 18-1, and blah, blah, blah. Packers win, people. Packers win. So Talish, I'm not sure I'm buying the blowout thing, but I do agree. I think the Packers win. So real quickly, before we let you go, when's the next time you're going to post?
Thank God for Jamie, right?
Yeah, I mean, Jamie.
If we didn't have Jamie.
God bless Jamie. We need to start having Jamie on the show.
Would Packers Lounge exist without Jamie?
I don't think so. I think they would have dwindled into absolute oblivion at this point.
Got quick hits on the front page and posted in hot raps left and right.
Oh, that is a hot rap, although it is sad that it's a cover.
It is a cover. I was disappointed.
I was disappointed.
I was like, finally, someone made a almost decent Packers song.
And it is. It really is. Yeah, it is, and it's a cover.
Yeah, all it is the 2010 version of Cheeseheads with Attitude, though.
Oh,
I mean, come on. Someone make a decent original Packers song.
Well, I'll drop this right now. I am working on a Packers song in response to Pat McCurdy's horrificness.
Nice. Is it going to be like Depeche Mode?
No. No.
Good.
Is it going to be like The Cure?
No.
Okay. Well,
it's going to be a song. I'm dead serious about this right now. Listen to me now and hear me later. This I am going to pitch this track to be played at Lambeau Field.
Oh, smack.
Awesome. So be on the lookout, people.
Okay.
It's going to happen. Alex Talish, you are an absolute legend for joining us. Thank you so much. 31-10. I'm on board.
Nice job, boys. Thank you.
You too as well. Have a great night. That's Alex Talish, Packers Lounge, finally getting on Skype and talking to us.
That's nice of him. You know, we've got something that we haven't played yet.
A video?
Yep.
Mr. Aaron Rodgers directing traffic. This is just a beautiful thing.
That's nice.
I posted about this today. I just love this. I mean, this is schoolyard football right here. You point to the guy, go over here. Oh, I'm going to throw it to you. Oh, touchdown. Only when we're doing it, you know, we're in a field somewhere. We're in a parking lot. When Rodgers does it, he's in a stadium full of, 80,000 people. Come on.
Yeah, it's
Come
nice.
On.
It's nice when he gets his game together.
It sure is.
It's nice when I'm going to be excited one day when it's just like the first quarter and it's lights out Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I'm ready for that.
And hopefully we see it this Sunday.
Yeah, hopefully. Let's talk about something real quick, real quick. I just want to look at the stats because it is interesting, okay?
Okay.
Dimitri Nance.
Yeah.
Had more attempts than Brandon Jackson.
Can I just say something right now?
Okay, hold on.
Okay, you make your point, and then I got to say something.
That's wrong.
Well, because they were up by a billion points. No. You know, you're not going to give Brandon Jackson a whole lot of wear and tear when you've already won the game.
There's something really wrong about
that. No, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Now, I will say there's something in the right direction.
Okay.
Because Brandon Jackson had 13 attempts as opposed to his usual 11. So you got to give props to McCarthy two attempts.
This
Thanks,
is what
bro.
I wanted to say about the
Appreciate
word.
Appreciate it.
Whenever you say the word attempts, I can never, ever, ever, ever hear that word again without thinking of you a few weeks ago saying, 10 attempts? 10 attempts? Like that is forever the word
I'm
attempts.
Just, well,
will
exactly.
always mean 10 attempts
so 14,
in my mind.
So 14. Brandon Jackson had 14.
Okay.
And I'm wrong. Dimitri Nance had 12. Okay.
Okay.
So Brandon
wait.
Jackson did have two more. So
all right. So wait.
Wait. No, I have to say it in the Cheesehead Radio way. I thought that Dimitri Nance had more attempts than Brandon Jackson, and I was wrong.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
They'll get that. Okay. Five people will get that.
Okay. Good. Well, as long as someone gets it. All right. So here's something that went up tonight that I think is just beyond asinine. And kind of a little, maybe even a little scary. The Green Bay Press Gazette put up a poll asking, and I'm not even joking, who should be the starting halfback for the Green Bay Packers? Brandon Jackson got 40% of the vote. 40%. Brandon Jackson. A respectable number.
Okay.
Who got 44% of the vote? James Starks, are you kidding me? Are you kidding? Packer fans, are you that idiotic? Seriously. Seriously.
CD and Jilly just made me laugh.
Seriously. 44% for James Starks to 40% for Brandon Jackson? You people are insane.
It's really pathetic because...
Wait, how many blitzes... Has James Starks picked up on first down? Oh, that would be zero. You people are insane. You people want to get Aaron Rodgers killed. You people have no business being fans of the Green Bay Packers.
Uh-oh.
Come on.
That was hardcore.
Come on. Jake, the man has not carried the ball one time in the NFL, and you want to make him the starter? All right, I'm done. I'm done.
That's good, because we need to wrap this show, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, we do. So let's just say thanks to everyone for tuning in, listening to our nonsense, because that's what it is. We recognize we are fans. We are here to talk to other fans and occasionally awesome, awesome beat writers like Tom Silverstein, who joined us earlier this evening. If you missed it, go check out the podcast on iTunes or the replay on the blog, on the site. It's fantastic. Big thanks to Anita from Pocket Doppler for joining us on the live blog. And speaking of the live blog, thanks as always to Brian Caravu and Alex Talish, Jamie Jors, our whole crew, Holly Phelps. Thank you so much. You guys make this absolutely the most unique experience for Packer fans anywhere on the internet. We thank you so much. Please join us next week after a big win over the Falcons.